Good morning. Good to see a number of visitors here. There's a lot of you I've seen places besides church, and it's good to see you in this setting as well. We have five young people here this morning that have asked to be baptized, and baptism is a statement to the world that I have decided to follow Jesus. My message this morning I have entitled, I have decided to follow Jesus. Mark 8, 34 through 38. You can turn to that if you'd like to, or you can read it off the screen. But Mark 8, 34 through 38. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, this is Jesus speaking, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. These five young people are saying, I call them young, I guess that's compared to me. They're saying to their friends, to their families, to the world, I have decided to follow Jesus. What does following Jesus look like? First of all, I believe it is God's desire that we all would follow Jesus. I don't believe there's anyone that is not called to follow that. 2 Peter 3, whoops, I'm sorry. No wonder you couldn't read it on the screen. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. This is an answer to those that say, why doesn't the Lord come back? The Lord said He's going to come back. He hasn't come back. Maybe He never will. And this is Peter's response to that. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's giving us time. He's patient. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'd like for us to look at some right responses from others who heard Jesus say, follow me. Matthew 4, verse 18. I've got several passages together here. But these are examples we have of Jesus saying to people, come, follow me. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And then we see their response. And they straightway, right away, immediately, straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately, again we see the response, immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And I can imagine Zebedee saying, hey, where are you going? And them saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. Something that struck me as I was going through this, and I'm not downplaying asking Jesus into your heart, but none of the disciples or the people that came to Jesus, we're going to see some of those too, that said, what must I do to be saved? Or, Lord, I would follow thee. None of them did Jesus say, ask me into your heart. He said, give me your life. Follow me. Matthew 9:9, and that can be part of asking Jesus into my heart, giving him my heart. But I believe it needs to be a giving of the heart, not simply an asking him to live there. Matthew 9:9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. We don't see any debate, any hesitancy. Again, I don't know who his boss was, who he was working for exactly, but maybe the man says, hey, where are you going? This is your booth. You need to run it. And Matthew says, I've decided to follow Jesus. John 1, 43 through 47. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And here we don't see Philip just immediately drop everything and follow Jesus. He not only did that, he went to find another follower. And I believe that's another response that we have when we have a right response to Christ and His gospel, is that we want to share it with others. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. So we see Philip's response. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Again, a right away response. Nathanael came to follow him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. So those are some right responses we see to Jesus' invitation to come and follow me. Then we also have some wrong responses to Christ's call to follow me. In Matthew 19, 16 through 22, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Notice he had kept the law. Jesus doesn't say, oh no, you haven't. Jesus didn't disagree with that. It does sound like he was allowing that, yes, you have kept these from your youth up. But notice he says, what lack I yet? There was still an emptiness, there was still a void, because he didn't have Jesus. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, and this is where it comes into giving your all, giving your life, not just acknowledging him, but actually giving yourself, following Jesus. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The verses after this, it says, the disciples say, wow, who can be saved? And Jesus says that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This man had great possessions. I don't know if he was 20 or 30 or how old he was, but within 100 years he was dead. And his possessions went to someone else. And he's had about 2,000 years now of living in hell. Unless he repented later, we don't know that he did. To regret clinging to his possessions and not giving his all to God. He went away sorrowful. I can't give up that much. A wrong response. Luke 9, we see another wrong response. Verse 57 and 58. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And in the context, we get the sense that he probably turned back at that time. Going on, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And I don't believe that was, okay, then we'll read verse 60. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. I don't believe that, I would think that what this means, I don't think the man's father had just died that day and he wanted to go have the funeral. I believe he was probably saying, my father is elderly, let me stay home, take care of my father, and when he dies and is buried, then I will come and follow you. In other words, right now is not a convenient time. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And again, I don't know exactly, doesn't say exactly, but it sounds like maybe he's saying, I have little brothers and sisters coming along that haven't left home yet. I need to stay there and take care of them. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, we see Jesus saying, it is selling out. To follow me is selling out. It's all or none. All three said, Lord. In 57, Lord, I will follow thee. 59, Lord, suffer me first to go. And then in 61, Lord, I will follow thee. All three called him Lord. None of them made him Lord, from what we can tell. In John 10, Jesus says in verse 27 through 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Something we've talked about as a class is the reality that to follow Christ means to sign the blank contract. Bob Miller was here, I don't know, a year or two or whatever it's been. Sometimes it's been longer than you realize. And he talked that day about having a blank contract and signing that. And that really stuck with me. You know, Matt, if you go into a business deal, somebody wants to hire you, you want to go work for someone, and the man says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll hire you and I'll pay you $50,000 a year. Sign here. No, I need to know what you're going to want me to do for $50,000. I need to know how many hours I'm going to have to work, what kind of work I'm going to be doing. Do I get holidays? So on and so forth. I want to know what's in the contract before I sign it. Jesus simply says, follow me. We don't know what that contract's going to hold. With Jesus, just like so many other things in the kingdom of God, the upside-down kingdom, where we return good for evil, we bless those who persecute us, we love our enemies. Here, Jesus says, you sign the contract, I'll fill it in. And that's scary. But Jesus says, perfect love casts out fear. If we trust Him, if we can love Him, if we love Him as we ought, then we don't have that fear of what He might do. We do know the end a little bit. In a sense, we sign that contract and walk into the unknown. But in another sense, it isn't truly unknown. In Jeremiah 29:11, God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Other translations say the plans. I know the plans that I have for you. So God, while things may look scary to us, it may look uncertain, we can know that He has shown us what the end result is of following Him. This whole thing of following Jesus, of salvation, of knowing the Lord. There's a story, and I don't know if it's supposed to be a true story or if it's just given as an illustration. The story is told of a boy who built a boat, a little sailboat, and he loved playing with this boat out on the water. And, sorry. But this boat was so meaningful to him because he had made this boat. He made it just the way he wanted it. You could say he loved that boat. God made us. God loves us. He made us just the way He wanted us. And we sinned and turned away. One day this boy was playing with this boat, and the wind caught it and took it out to sea, and he lost his boat. Thought he'd never see it again. He gave up hope of ever having that boat. And one day he was down at the local pawn shop, and here was his boat. Someone had found it, brought it in, and sold it to the pawn shop. And he went to the manager, the owner, and said, "Hey, that's my boat. I want my boat." The man said, "I'm sorry, it's my boat. I bought it, I paid for it, it's mine." Well, the boy had no way to prove it was his boat. But he went and he scrimped and he saved and he got every penny he could find for however long it took. And he went in and he bought his own boat back. And as he came out of the store, he said, "You're twice mine. I made you and now I bought you." And that's what Jesus did for us. When man was created, we were created in perfect relationship with him. And then man sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you could say that we were his boat. We were his creation. He made us. And we sailed away. We were lost without chance of being reclaimed on our own. And then God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the debt that we owed. We were his, we were God's, and now God looks at us and he says, "Come, follow me. I made you, and now I bought you. You're twice mine." Romans 6, 3 through 5. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? An important part of following Christ is our own death, dying to self. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Jonathan, Menno and Emily, Luis and Ashley, it's been a real joy to see the light come on, to see the growth, to see the joy of being twice bought. We have a little bit of a unique situation here with Luis. I didn't ask him if I could share this. I hope it's all right. I believe it was 2007, we had our first kids club. And there were, I think, 9 children there that night. And Luis was 9 years old. Is that right? Luis was one of those first children, the first nights of kids club. And today he has accepted the Lord as his Savior and has said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." And that's a wonderful experience. Praise the Lord. So that's an encouragement to our home congregation that kids club is a good thing. Let's keep it up. Let's be faithful. But also to the rest of you. We all have our different ways of wanderings, I guess, that lead us to the Lord. But I trust that this can be a big step in your journey. To the congregation, I'd like to say, let's be encouraging to these young people. This is a big step. And also, I think baptism is a good chance for us to review our own level of surrender. Do I die daily? Paul said, "I die daily. Every day I decide I am going to serve the Lord today." do I follow? The gift of God is eternal life. It's not something we do. The gift of God is eternal life. But then our end of the deal is, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Maybe we could stand for prayer. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, first of all, that you say to us that we may come and follow you. You invite us into a relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for what you did on Calvary, where you took what was intended for us, where God put our sin on your shoulders and crushed you in our place. Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can stand before you in righteousness because of what you've done for us. I pray, Lord, now as we go into the baptism part of this service, I pray, Lord, that you would just be honored. I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to guide. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. I pray for each one here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us all to really understand and to know what it means to follow Jesus, to have that relationship, to have our sins under the blood. Lord, I thank you for that privilege. We bless you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, as part of our baptismal service this morning, I've asked each of the five to be prepared to share a little bit. So I think now at this time, if you want to give them the mic. And I've told them they don't have to stand and face the audience if they'd rather not. Yeah.
I have accepted Jesus as my Savior and my Redeemer. I want to take up my cross and follow Him. My desire is to seek Him and to serve Him daily.
I have decided to place my trust in Christ as my Savior, and today I want to publicly say to the world that I am committing the rest of my life to Jesus as He sees best.
Believing that God has led me here and joining His church is His plan for my life, I'm giving my life to Him and following Jesus.
God, you are good. I put my trust in you. You sent your only and only Son, Jesus, to show me the way and die on the cross for me, to rescue you from my sin. I believe. I trust that in your great mercy, my past has been wiped clean, every wrong forgiven. I invite your Holy Spirit to be my helper and counselor. Also, help me spread the gospel to others. Equip me with the gifts and inspiration to do your work. I surrender my life for your purpose and plan. I declare you as my Lord and Savior.
When I was younger, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I will serve Him the rest of my life. I would like to publicly express that by being baptized.
Thank you. And now I have some questions. No, they'll need that, Sheldon. Some questions I'd like to ask each of you. I'll read it once, and then you can each answer. We probably don't need to use the mic for that. I think we can hear well enough. Do you believe in one true, eternal, and almighty God, who is the creator and preserver of all visible and invisible things?
I do.
Okay. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, that He is the only Savior of mankind, that He died upon the cross and gave Himself a ransom for our sins, that through Him we might have eternal life? Do you believe in the Holy Ghost, which proceedeth from the Father and the Son, that He is an abiding comforter, sanctifies the hearts of men, and guides them into all truth?
I do.
Are you truly sorry for your past sins, and are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, and all works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? If so, you may say, I am. Do you promise by the grace of God and the aid of His Holy Spirit to submit yourself to Christ and His Word and faithfully to abide in the same until death?
I
Thank you. Okay, another thing I guess maybe I'll explain a little bit to those that are here is that we at Calvary Chapel recognize immersion and pouring as suitable modes of baptism. We believe there is scriptural basis for either. So what we give them the choice of that, and we have three, Jonathan, Menno, and Emily, have requested that they be poured, their baptismal mode be pouring, and then Luis and Ashley have asked to be immersed. So we'll plan on baptizing Jonathan, Emily, and Menno first, and then to immerse the other two. So we'll go ahead with that.
Another thing is that Lynn is a member of the ministry here at Calvary Chapel, And his daughter Ashley is being baptized, and so we're going to have him baptize her, our assistant baptizer.
Then I have two more questions I need to ask each one. Part of our usual arrangement at baptism is to become members of the church as well, the local church. We would believe that as Christians we are members of the broad body of Christ, and then as members we become members of a local congregation. I believe I'll just say it once again, and then you can each answer separately. Are you in agreement with our statement of faith and practice here at Calvary Chapel? Okay. Do you intend to be faithful in supporting the congregation here at Calvary Chapel and in the giving and receiving of counsel? Okay, thank you. We welcome you as members at Calvary Chapel. Welcome to the family. May the Lord bless you and keep you. We'll ask them to stay at the front after dismissal, and then you'll have a little bit of time to greet them. If you're not wanting to come through the line and greet them, you are welcome to go ahead and go to the food. Like he said, there is plenty of food. You're all welcome to stay, and thank you for each one that came out. Let's stand, and we'll have prayer and then a song, and you'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the joy in seeing new believers, seeing believers who have decided to follow you. I pray, Lord, for Jonathan. I pray for Menno and Emily. I pray for Luis. I pray for Ashley. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in their hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that they could be strong for you, that you would give them grace and strength. I'm sure there's going to be times when Satan comes and works on them, and I just pray that you would give them the ability to withstand and to stand in you. I pray your blessing on the food that's been prepared. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this meal, bless our fellowship, that we could have a good time of just being together, and that we could honor you with what we do and say. Thank you so much for all you do. We bless you, we thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.